This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
Welcome to Spouting Off Friday. I won't say it's, thank God it's Friday, but I do like my Fridays, and I do like Spouting Off on Fridays. Karen Cataline here with you, the third episode of Spouting Off for the week. And boy, this week is ending with a bang. I'm going to be filling in for Stephen Tubbs on 710 KNUS. At least it's a bang for me personally, so I'm pleased about that. So if you'd like to listen, you can listen on anywhere in the country from 3 to 7 Mountain Time, 4 to 8 Central, 5 to 9 Eastern, and even Pacific you can do too. The great thing is that it's live call-in talk radio, which is exactly what this is. And if you'd like to chime in, you're going to have to do it early. Actually, we have a terrific guest that we're going to hang out with for a little bit longer and talk about several different issues of the day. Drew Allen is going to be with us, and he is a self-described millennial who is up on all just an enormous amount of issues of the day. So we're going to be talking to him. He may probably be willing to take some phone calls too, because it's so much more fun to have somebody to bounce ideas off of, especially when it's you, the callers, who do that or whatever. And if you're counting, believe it or not, this is show number 223, 223 shows and counting of Spouting Off, both in New Hampshire and elsewhere. So the number to call if you'd like to chime in is 888-627-6008. That's 627-888-627-6008. In this first segment, a lovely person sent me something. We talk so much around here about what's wrong. What's wrong are the globalist socialist communists who are trying to culturally, what do they call that? Culturally appropriate our country. I can never think of their stupid lingo because it's always the opposite usually of what it is. So they're trying to misappropriate our country to a communist country when really this is a country that was built for individual freedom and liberty. That's what it's about. So I talk to a lot of people, me being a social worker, among other things. I talk to people who really are kind of depressed about what's going on. And you can't fight, you can't stand up for your liberty if you're beaten down. And that is exactly what they want us to do, is to be beat down. So I thought I'd share with you a couple of great pieces of news. This comes from something called, I guess it's the Telegram, social media Telegram. I don't think I'm on Telegram, so a friend of mine sent it to me. And here's just a couple of things that I want to throw out there. Okay, so here's just good news that happened this week, since we are broadcasting this on a Friday, June 4th. So the week of June 2nd, the effort to recall Michigan's Governor Whitmer is moving forward. She tried to stop it in court, but the judge ruled it can proceed. Now, I don't know if their laws are as ridiculous as some in other states that are basically designed not to allow you to recall because it's so impossible. You'd have to get 937,000 signatures I was a part of something like that way back when, and it was designed to fail. However, I don't know what the rules are in Michigan, but people are fit to be tied and furious at Governor Whitmer. When I talk to people from Michigan, they call her Governor Whitmer. So here's another one. Pennsylvania legislators are currently in Arizona meeting with their counterparts, discussing election integrity and how to replicate the audit, touring the audit facility and getting a brief from the Arizona forensic audit team. I'm glad people are not letting this go. A lot of people feel like that horse has left the barn, and legally it probably has, but people mainstream are concerned. And of course, the really important thing is if we do not have election integrity, it won't matter how hard we work. So this is good news. Here's another one. A New Jersey postal worker pled guilty to dumping 2020 general election ballots into the garbage. So I guess that's not a conspiracy theory, is it? It's the real deal. And that was reported a long time ago. And anything the left doesn't like, they call a conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy. Of course, they push all kinds of conspiracy theories when it comes to things like it's Russia, Russia. Notice nobody is following up on any of that because people in the know that that was a complete fraud. So it's not just a conspiracy theory, it's a fraud. Okay. Here's another one. Footage from inside the Capitol on January 6th is still coming out. Evidence continues to show that the Capitol Police welcomed people into the building and stood aside as peaceful MAGA people wandered around inside. They were invited inside. So either it was a setup or they remember when the Capitol is the people's house. And as long as people aren't meaning any harm, they are allowed to do that. At least I remember when that was true. It probably wasn't open on that particular eventful day. But how come, why were Capitol Police welcoming them into the building? Don't know why. Major League Baseball is being sued in federal court for yanking its 2021 All-Star Game out of Atlanta because Georgia passed a law to increase election integrity. What do you know? The business advocacy organization filing suit is seeking $100 million in damages and $1.1 billion in punitive damages. How about that? Colorado welcomed the Major League Baseball with open arms, and now they're changing all their policies around to fit MLB. In fact, a lot of people in Colorado believe that they're just simply opening the state earlier than before so that they can accommodate Major League Baseball. So much for a deadly virus. Here's another one. 117 staff members, I love this, have filed suit against Houston Methodist Hospital for mandating them to be vaccinated against COVID-19 in order to keep their jobs. The lawsuit claims that the hospital's policy violates the Nuremberg Code of 1947. Now, there are people who will argue that that is no big problem to demand that people be vaccinated as a condition of employment. But one of the little sticky wickets here is that when you get right down to it, these healthcare professionals know that even the drug companies who created these things are not calling them vaccines. Now, again, you don't have to be a scientist to recognize that the vaccine is experimental. And just because the same liars have told you that everybody has to get the shot, has to get the jab, that it's safe, well, that's all the more reason to be certain that probably it is not. The main deal here is individual freedom, which is what they're trying to eradicate. So I'm glad that they're filing a suit in Houston because they're before, but for the grace of God go the rest of us, if your employer has issues and demands that you get a shot, you should be able to protect your body integrity and make those decisions for yourself. We knew all that was going to come to court, and sure enough, it is going to court. I didn't do the research to find out what the Nuremberg Code is, but I should. Probably to be a medical guinea pig is probably what we are looking at there. Let's see a couple more here. Multiple polls have found that more than 60% of Americans agree that biological males should not be participating in women's sports. Oh, my God, how radical is that? Governor DeSantis signed a bill making this the law in Florida for high school and college sports. Have you noticed how even certain conservatives have had trouble with this? They just couldn't get it done. Asa Hutchinson was one, and it really kind of breaks my heart that that was about the time when Kristi Noem fell from grace a little bit because she was having trouble understanding how that was a pretty straightforward bill. Now, there are libertarians out there who would say if you are going, you should not make laws in order to get rid of other laws because that's just more law. That's an area in which I disagree with libertarians. If the only way that you can get rid of really ridiculous stuff that is getting pushed on the rest of us, if the only way to do that is to make a law banning something that you would think would be straightforward, then guess what? You gotta do it. You gotta do it. So here's one more on that very, well, not on that score, but on other ones. This is fascinating. You notice that Texas is constantly in the news. Texas Democrats walked off the House floor in order to block the passage of a bill that would strengthen voter integrity. Governor Greg Abbott responded by vetoing Article 10 of the budget, which funds the legislative branch, and stated, "No pay for those who abandon their responsibilities." So they apparently, is there anything else you can conclude but that Democrats don't want election integrity? Isn't that kind of what it means? Wouldn't that be what it means? I would think so, you know, but who am I? We have about a minute. I think Doug is going to let me know any minute that we got to go and take a break. But I wanted to let you know that, that there is good news. I didn't bring the audio with me, but Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give in. Never, never. Except in matter of conscience and good sense. So that is what we need to do, is fight where we can and never give up. We're going to have a lot more conversation with my friend Drew Allen right after this. So, Karen Cataline, and you're listening to Spouting Off here on the BBS edition Fridays, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. We're going to be right back with our guest right after this. Stay tuned.
you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Well, welcome back to Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. And if you'd like to see what I'm up to, all you got to do is go to KarenCataline.com. Yeah, I'm a Karen, and it's okay. I cop to being a Karen, you know, a loud-mouthed white woman, middle-aged woman who complains a lot. And why not? There's a lot to complain about, although we're going to talk about the good stuff, too. And I am delighted. Oh, I was going to give you the website address, KarenCataline.com. Last name spelled KATALINE.com. So I am delighted to have he's quickly becoming my new friend. I love to have him to just talk about the issues of the day. He writes a lot, develops lots of content, and he is a self-described millennial, right? His name is Drew Allen. He's Texas bred, which I just think is cool because that's where I moved to. California-based conservative author and speaker, fluent in Italian. Drew has lived and worked in Italy in the fashion industry, in New York City, Los Angeles, and as an actor, a screenwriter, and an independent film producer. Now he has his own podcast and website, DrewThomasAllen.com, Allen spelled A-L-L-E-N. Welcome to Spouting Off, Drew Allen.
Hi, Karen. I'd just like to say that you're making Karens great again, so don't worry about that.
Should I put together a hat, M-K-G-A, Mageka, something like that?
Make Karens great again. I'll buy the merchandise. I'll wear it.
You're so funny. You really are. So before we get into the issues of the day, tell me, do you stay on top of what's going on in Italy since you lived and worked there these days?
I don't too much. I mean, I pay attention here and there to the headlines, but unfortunately what's happening in America is far worse than anything that could happen to Italy at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, is that ever true. And sadly, a lot of Americans don't have anything to compare it to because we have had the luxury of liberty in this country. Granted, it has been slowly slipping away, but now we're on a speeding train. Tell everybody the story, Drew Allen, of how you became so politically active.
Well, I guess I would just kind of summarize it this way. I grew up a conservative in Texas. I grew up listening to Rush Limbaugh in the car on my dad's radio. And my dad has always been a strong, staunch conservative. So my family values have always been that way. But that said, it doesn't mean that I grew up in conservative spheres. I went to an elitist all-male Jesuit college preparatory school where I had plenty of teachers who were in the business of indoctrination. Every friend I had was a Democrat. I went and worked in Italy in a socialist company for a fashion mogul, and you can imagine in the fashion world, there aren't a lot of conservatives. I came back, right, and I worked as an actor in Hollywood, and so I would say my entire adult life, though I've been a conservative, I've been in the lion's den, and I've been surrounded by Democrats, their asinine arguments, and what they believe, and I've always had to defend my point of view, but I've also had a front row seat to the way they think. And so the upshot of my peculiar life experience, even though I grew up in a conservative household, is that I've always been a minority, and I am uniquely qualified as a 34-year-old millennial to dismantle, destroy the Marxist left arguments and provide rational explanations for why they're stupid and why what we are doing and what we believe is right and American.
Well, bravo, man, oh, man. You just get right to the point there, and I love that. That is terrific. And it looks like you have – I'm looking at this book you wrote. It's very interesting. Everybody go to DrewThomasAllen.com under books, and you can see a kind of a crinkled piece of paper that is the cover for your book, Uncommon Sense, addressed to the citizens of America on the urgent subjects of our present tyranny and civil war. Oh, my goodness. So obviously you're taking your cue from, wasn't it a pamphlet, Common Sense, that was written?
Exactly. Thomas right. Paine, inspired by Thomas
right.
Paine.
Right, inspired by Thomas Paine. Tell us about this book. I love the crinkled nature of it. It means we got to straighten it out, maybe iron it out, and start reading it again, but with your take on it. Am I right? Tell me about that.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, over the past year, so 2020 really activated me and got me into the political sphere because I just saw how dangerous things were becoming, and I finally awakened to the fact that, you know, the situation we're in is so dire. And it's reflective. It might be unprecedented in our time, Karen, and my generation's time, but it's not unprecedented in America's time, this lurch towards totalitarianism and erasing the Constitution. We've been there before. And when I look at what Thomas Paine did in terms of common sense, you know, he was arguing in favor of the colonists seeking their liberty, in favor of ousting and getting rid of the rot of totalitarianism they were under with King George III. And so I saw all these parallels, and I wrote this thing, honestly, in 3 weeks about in November. And it started with COVID, and all the things I said in that chapter then were borne out to be true, and I've been vindicated. And, you know, the book is meant to open also Democrats' eyes to the lies of the left that we've been told throughout our lives about the Democrat Party's origins, about them being the party of the people and against slavery or against, racial injustice. They are the party. They've never changed. That's the thing. So I get into this book, and it's meant to just hopefully also get Democrats to wake up to what happened. And it kind of finishes with what happened in the 2020 election. And I make it very clear what happened there, and there could be no dispute about it. And then I end the book with the complaints and enumerated in the Declaration of Independence, for example, and I say, wake up and read the 26 or 27 complaints and look how many of them apply today. The tyranny we're experiencing today is actually far worse than what the colonists experienced in the 18th century, and that's the truth.
And that is hard for people to get their brains around because look at what they did in order to fight it. They created a country. And what is so heartbreaking is we're losing a country. I mean, I don't go so far as to say the country's already lost. A lot of people believe that it is. But I think we can, as I quoted Winston Churchill, we can never, 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 ever give up. You also wrote this really interesting piece. I love seeing your writing. I mean, I'm about to make an insult, which is, I don't know. Sometimes millennials, they don't know how to communicate. They don't know how to write. They don't know how to speak. What the heck is going on? I guess maybe you could answer that question. But before there are people in general, not just millennials. So I don't mean to bash all millennials. That's what the left always does, is reduce everybody into little groups of people. And we fall into that trap. So let me not fall into that trap. You have a piece that's called It Isn't Cool to Be a Democrat. Love that. So tell us about that one.
Well, I have these lucid moments of great rational thought and understanding, Karen, from time to time. And the realization occurred to me that look, as conservatives, you and I aren't victims, right? We're not giving up. We're looking for solutions.
So at
the problem, So as I look at the problems in America, I can boil them down to this. All right. We're in this situation because the left has indoctrinated tens of millions of Americans to believe that it's cool to be a Democrat. And the right, the Republican Party, has failed miserably to fight back. But there's another caveat to that, because we've been called the silent majority, and a silent majority is nothing more than a shame majority. So even though many Republicans and conservatives are still conservatives and reject the Democrat policies, we have also, through our silence, accepted this lie that it's cool to be a Democrat. Because if we believed it was cool to be a conservative, we would walk tall and proud and talk about our conservative beliefs and Americanism. But we haven't. And so that article is meant to say, wake up. It's not cool to be a victim and do all X, Y, and Z, the Marxism now that the left preaches. There's nothing cooler than being a revolutionary, a true revolutionary, in the vein of the radical founding fathers of Abraham Lincoln. That's who we are. Those are authentic Americans, not the left. They have imported things that are antithetical to this country.
Oh, boy, is that ever true. But as you know, generations and of kids have been indoctrinated. They've both been indoctrinated and, as the bizarre Bush would have said, de-edumacated. They have not been educated about the joys of liberty, and that liberty, with liberty comes responsibility. So what do you think about this idea? Since you're exactly right, we do all we do all look for solutions, at least as much as possible, after we get through recognizing the problems that we're facing. And that is, here's what I think. If there's easy come, easy go, you know, if people could jump on a bandwagon so darn quick to be a Marxist, they could jump off just as easily. When you put things in fashion, people are fickle. So why can't we use that fickleness in order to not only make it cool to be a liberal, a liberty lover, but also to make it out of fashion to be a communist Democrat, because that's what they are today.
Well, we can and we must. That's kind of the direction I'm trying to go, right? I'm trying to live my life the way I'm preaching it as well. And I'll tell you what, Karen, I was looking to escape California, obviously because I don't like living in a communist state where I'm outnumbered all the time. But I'll tell you what, I've rethought it recently, and my wife and I are looking at staying here, not forever, but a little bit longer, because, you know, there's something to be said for living in this existence and forcing myself through being forged through fire, essentially, to become that confident person who doesn't care what they think, to show people what it means to be a proud conservative, to be a cool conservative that is unabashed and plants my feet firmly beneath me and just, you know, basically destroys their arguments and makes converts to the cause of liberty. So at 34, I think I got a little bit more time in me to stick it out in this communist state and see what I can do.
I'm telling you, I should have you on the show this afternoon. I may just do that if you're available. I'm doing a show in Colorado on Afternoon Drive, and I'm going to explain why I chose to move to Texas, because we have a growing Berlin Wall in this country. We have slave states and we have free states, to varying degrees, mind you. But we never thought, I don't think in our lifetimes, that we would see such a contrast, such a stark contrast between Democrat-controlled states and Republican-controlled states. And here you are making the decision to stay. I made the decision to leave because that was the right one for me. I think that is excellent, because people need to stay. Otherwise, it's going to hasten the communistic properties of these states like Colorado, Oregon, and all the rest. Somebody has to stay and fight, and someone has to stay and protect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, if people aren't exposed to the other side and don't see the other side, there's no hope of them getting off the Marxist bandwagon. And yeah. I'll tell you what, also, you know, I live in California, which is obviously a very different experience when I talk to audiences like yours.
I hate to do this. I should have taken a break and hold that thought, if you would. And we will come right back, and don't forget what you were going to say, because I'll forget. And we are going to take a quickie break here. We're talking to Drew Thomas Allen at drewthomasallen.com on Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KstarRadioNetwork.com.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off here with Karen Cataline. We're having a good time off the air, too, talking about people actually exercising their freedom of choice in a country that is quickly, not slowly, trying to take away our freedom of choice, our liberty. That is the core of all of it. If you think the masks were about coronavirus, you were wrong, I think. If you think the vaxes are about coronavirus, you'd be wrong. I'm not sure what else they're about. But they are most definitely, my new favorite phrase, Drew Allen, symbols of submission. Symbols of submission. This is what we're going to be confronted with. And if people think that is going to stop with the vaccines, it's not going to stop with the vaccines. What we were talking about, however, is people exercising their choice by voting with their feet or sticking it out. Both of those are important. And you tell me, Drew, you were about to tell me a story about why you decided to stick around.
Yeah. So, you know, going back to what we were talking about before, look, we're talking about, you know, people being on the Marxist bandwagon. You know, they can just as easily get off the bandwagon. But if people aren't exposed to another side or exposed to actually having to face the reality of what a conservative is like in this world, then they're never going to get off that bandwagon. So for me, I'm making a decision, I think, right now to stick it out and continue to make an impact in my small community here in Napa County. And, you know, we're friends at this point, so I can just divulge personal things to you and your audience. But,
well, don't divulge,
you know, I work
too much personal identifying information.
No.
Somebody might dox you. But go ahead.
That's right. But
All right. But
I work a job at a winery as well, and I have I have not worn a mask for the past month. Meanwhile, my coworkers wear the mask everywhere, walking outside, and everything else. No one said a word to me. But I did have a situation in which I went into the cafe to order a coffee at the place that I work, and a woman behind the counter, a young girl, I had a mask below my nose, and she refused to serve me coffee. So I just stood there, and I made a point, and I pointed to the chair that was 3 inches away from me, and I said, "Do you mean to tell me that if I sit in this chair, I can take the mask off my face, but if I stand up from this chair, I'm suddenly threatening your life. Because she said, oh, you're putting me and everyone in danger. And I said, what are you, the Gestapo? I said, is there someone in here who will give me a coffee? And a guy stepped up, and he made my coffee, gave it to me, and he came to me later and said, hey, man, I'm so glad you did that. These people are crazy.
Right. And you know what's funny, Drew? You can predict when you're going to be given hell and when you're not. It's so predictable. I lived in northern Colorado in a very conservative county in Colorado. But I also lived near the University of Northern Colorado, and I went there to get some to-go food, you know, one of those college-type places. It was hilarious. I stepped in. This is in a conservative county where nobody was enforcing it except the mask rule, except for like Sprouts, you know, one of those big health food stores, and they got protested a lot. But it was hilarious. I walked into an Asian food restaurant that has to go, and I stepped in without a mask, and four people yelled at me to get out. Yelled at me to get out. And I said, you know, this is garbage, don't you know? And they started giggling, that sort of smug liberal laugh about how dangerous and stupid I was. That's how brainwashed these people are. And you can tell if you're in a college area, you're going to get that kind of treatment. If you're in a big city, you'll get that kind of treatment. If you're in a small town, not so much. In fact, probably not at all. So the mask mandate still has not been lifted in California. Is that right?
That's right. It's supposed to be lifted sometime in June, I believe, arbitrarily. But Gavin Newsom has determined that he's going to continue to pay those unemployment benefits, pandemic benefits, in the foreseeable future. So he's not going to put an expiration date on those, despite the numerous available jobs out here and inability to get people to fill those jobs. And, you know, that's where we're at. But, you know, it's so funny. I was reading those Fauci emails, of course, that have come out, those bombshell
you
emails.
Went exactly where I wanted to take you. You went just where
well,
I wanted
I
to go.
You and I think alike. Great minds think alike, Karen.
Great minds think alike. I wanted to ask you all about Fauci. What do you think? And you read some of them.
Yeah. I read some of them, and I talked about it a little bit on a podcast. But I just want to get it back to the mask mandate, because there's a lot of stuff to unpack in those emails. But for time, let's talk about the mask, because publicly, of course, he flipped and flopped. And, you know, he eventually said, you know, every American needs to wear a mask to protect themselves. That was public, right? But in private emails to a dean of a medical school, he told the dean who was asking him about masks, he said that there's no reason that anyone should wear a mask on planes or anywhere else, because the fabric masks and everything else, you know, the ones that 99.999% of the public's been wearing, virtue signaling, for the past year.
Yes.
He said the virus is smaller and small enough to get through the mask. The mask, in effect, is useless, a useless prop. So he says this in private. And we've been saying this all along, you know, unless you're in a laboratory fitted with an N95 mask, which is unrealistic, you know, it literally doesn't do any good at all. In fact, it's harmful to you because you're breathing in carbon dioxide and hurting oxygen flow to your lungs. And you're wearing a dirty face diaper that's filled with bacteria. And so we've been saying this all along. And now the proof is in the pudding. We see the email. We see that he doesn't believe this stuff. And yet you still have these Americans who are walking around the streets where I live wearing masks on their faces.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I have used an audio before. I don't have it with me right now, that it's an addiction. Are you a fan of, in your case, older movies? I don't know when this movie was made, but it qualifies as an older movie. The Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, great, great movie. Remember when Red is explaining to all his buddies, all his felons there, except Andy Dufresne is not a felon, he's innocent. Everyone in here is innocent, don't you know? He says that it's institutionalized, that first these walls, you hate them. And then you come to depend on them, and pretty soon you get so you depend on them. I'm not quoting correctly, but yes, so you get so you depend on them. And I believe that was the purpose of the mask all along, really. Matter of fact, it has been shown historically that masks covering the nose and mouth, I have this on my bulletin board, actually work to erase individuality. Why? Because everybody looks alike. They all look, they're all submissive, right? And that conditioning of being told what you will and won't do and put on your face was the dress rehearsal for what we're dealing with, and most people knew right away it was going to be the vaxes, the vaccines, right?
So, yeah. And you know, there was another email Fauci sent as well. And this is important because we knew the vaccine, I mean, whether you like the vaccine or not, whatever, Operation Warp Speed, we have this thing in a year, which is unbelievable. But in Fauci's emails, knowing that there wasn't going to be a vaccine for a long time from the beginning, sent another email in which he said that social distancing is absolutely useless and counterproductive in the absence of a vaccine. Because you want to basically, they talk about an R naught in the science community. That's R0. This is how they explain how many transmissions are going to happen if someone's infected. So if R naught is one, that means each infected person may infect one new person. R naught 18 would mean each infected person is going to infect 18 people. So in this email, Fauci says that, you know, we just got to keep the R naught as close to one or under one as possible. And so the idea, of course, which is, has been science forever, is that herd immunity, right? So you want to protect those who are most susceptible to dying from this virus, but you want everyone else who's not going to die from it to get the virus as fast as possible so that they build up immunity in their system so they can't give it to other people. So he acknowledged that social distancing was a bad idea and useless in a private email, but then he went out and said 6 feet. This is how insidious this whole thing has been. And Karen, Obama came out with a New York Times interview and let the cat out of the bag again just a few days ago. He basically said that this, he said that, and I've actually got it on my phone here that I can read some of the quotes to you, but he said that this COVID was an opportunity. Now, what is he talking about? We've heard this from Kamala Harris as well. It was an opportunity, he says. He said, okay, he argued it was important for Democrats to act big on progressive issues to fundamentally change America's understanding of the government. He expressed optimism. This is Obama. He expressed optimism more Americans would shift toward leftist policies under President Joe Biden's administration. Here's a quote from Obama. There are times when that's presented, this crisis, right? I think you try to drive it home as much as possible and get a reorientation of the body politic. So he is saying
You're kind of going in and out, so I want to get every word. First off, what's your source on this? Where can people find this?
Well, so it initially was in the New York Times, but Breitbart and a number of others have also reported on it.
Well, didn't the Canadian prime minister, whatever his name is, forgot his name, he said the same thing, that it was an opportunity. Well, our tax dollars were going to create that opportunity, so I don't think it's a ridiculous thing to say. We got about 30 seconds. Let's find that out. If you can get us the source on that, I'd like to see that because it doesn't surprise me in the least, but it's rare when Obama actually says what's really on his mind. Can you hang with us one more segment?
I can. Ezra Klein. He did the interview with Ezra Klein in the New York Times.
Ezra Klein. That is
Yeah, good old
terrific.
Marxist Ezra.
That's great. We got to take a quick break. We're going to be back with the wonderful Drew Thomas Allen, making a name for himself, and DrewThomasAllen.com. We'll be right back on Spouting Off right after this.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline, and we are talking to Drew Thomas Allen, who has just a lot of great, important things to say. He's read the Fauci emails, well, some of them. There weren't 33,000 of them, were there, Drew?
Someone told me there were 33,000.
That's a hauntingly similar number, isn't it, to the Hillary emails, 33,000? I think that's kind of interesting.
Have they been bleached yet?
What? What'd you say?
Have they been bleached yet? You know, bleach bit.
Oh, bleached yet. Bleached bit,
them.
Like bleach bit. Well, I just found that interesting because when someone said 33,000, I thought, what are they, like, counting exactly that many? That's a heck of a lot of emails. But before the break, you were telling us about just that, about what he said about herd immunity and so forth. Finish that thought up, if you would.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, the accepted science forever is that, you know, viruses do what viruses do. The body obviously has a natural response to viruses, in which we get a virus, we build up an immunity to it in our systems so that we're protected against it in the future. And so, of course, Dr. Fauci, in one of his emails, said that social distancing, I'm using the word asinine, but he said, you know, social distancing doesn't make sense because it only works if you have a vaccine. Well, so for a year, we socially distanced when what we should have done, as acknowledged by Fauci in the private emails, is protect the vulnerable and let those of us who weren't going to die from this virus get the virus so that that would protect us and others against it. Not these masks
exactly.
Don't work, not the socially distancing, not shutting down and destroying the middle class, which, by the way, is all part of the weaponization of this to carry out the Marxist agenda to eradicate the middle class and create a ruling class and the poor, who are all equally poor.
So well put. And it's so obvious. I mean, I would go a step further and say this was the vehicle that, as far as I'm concerned, the whole coronavirus and the mask business was the jump the shark moment. Now, do you know what reference that's from in pop culture? The jump the shark moment. Yeah, this dates me. It shows that I'm a lot older than you. Happy Days was I didn't ever watch it, but it was a series, in the 70s probably. And whenever anything completely goes off the rails, we call it jump the shark, because that was the moment when a TV series, when I guess the Fonz or something jumped over a shark, and people call it the jump the shark moment. Well, coronavirus was the moment, the mask was the moment, really, these mask mandates that put Americans in a totally different relationship with their government. And now you're saying, and it's a superb reference, that Obama admitted it in a New York Times article. Wowzers is what I say. That's astounding.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing that, you know how you're always dying to have somebody mention something when you see those talking heads and whatever. I'm dying to have people mention the fact this is for a virus that is 99.86% non-lethal. If you're under 50, you can virtually not die from it at all. And yet the same people pushing all this lie really don't mind if they bring in MS-13 gang members from the border. They don't mind a whole lot of things that put us in grave, grave danger. So how come nobody ever, I mean, I know why, But speak to that, and then we're going to shift gears one more time.
Why they don't, you know, basically...
Nobody ever mentions it. Obviously, it's quite purposeful why they don't mention it. I just wondered if you had further comments on that one. Because nobody talks about it, except conservatives, of course.
Well, of course. I mean, the Democrats don't talk about it because it's harmful politically to them, and it exposes the frauds and the liars and the hypocrites that they are. Because, look, the argument they always make, Karen, right, is, you know, if it saves one life, we have to do it, right? When it comes to guns, right? If it saves one life, we have to get rid of the Second Amendment. If it saves one life, we have to shut down the economy for this virus. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to actual things that matter, like abortion or what you were just referencing to with the border crisis, I mean, if it saves one life, we should build the wall and prevent anyone from coming across, because we have video of people dying in the Rio Grande, dead bodies found who've tried to make the treacherous journey through the Arizona desert. Well, if it saves one life, we should tell these people, stop coming here. There's no future for you in America illegally.
Well, that's pretty much what Trump said. And then as soon as Biden got in, whether legitimately or not, he was being directed to say that it's the water's fine. Come on in. Right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And now, you know, they refuse to address it. You know, you can't get any coverage of it. When you ask Jen Psaki about it, she'd say, talk to this organization and bureaucracy, and they'd say, talk to Jen Psaki, and Jen Psaki'd say, talk to them, and you never get anywhere. And you have Kamala Harris, who was given the job of dealing with the border, and she has yet to visit the border. And, you know, this is where we're at.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to wrap this up, and I'm just so grateful that you were so generous with your time. The thing that I wanted to ask you most importantly is people of all ages, it doesn't matter how old you are. There's some people that are 70 and haven't got a clue, and you are in your 30s and you are out there making a difference. You clearly want to model the behavior of liberty. So what is it that you have found that has been most helpful to actually turn people and wake people up that are wake-upable? I just made up that word, wake-upable. What is it that you have found has been? I've asked you this before because it's helpful for other people to have some more arrows in their quiver. We have much more influence in our surrounding environment than we realize. We come in contact with people every day. And it's no longer so important to be quite as polite as we once were, because our opponents aren't the least bit polite, and they're imposing their will upon us. So tell us a little more about that before we let you go.
Well, the first thing that has to be done in a conservative's mind is to rid yourself of any insecurity, because when you feel insecure, that's when you lash out. That's when you start to model behavior that is like the left, and people aren't receptive to people who are just speaking with them angrily, yelling, or shouting them down. So insecurity is overcome by study. Insecurity is overcome by confidence and mastery of the issues and crystal clear understanding of what is happening in this country. See, the left is lazy. They don't judge policies based on their effectiveness or results. They base them on the intended reason behind them. And so this is why Democrats double down on policies that are harmful, and they reject policies that are useful, like the voucher program and things like that. But to get back to your point, the burden, we have to accept, the burden is on us as non-victims to study these issues and master them. Because when people come at us with their garbage, we know we're right, but we have to be able to explain and break down their arguments and tell them why they're wrong. And so I have just spent so much time just gaining confidence and security. And there's nothing anyone can say or do to me to dissuade me, because I am talking to people who are ignorant and I am enlightened. And we conservatives are enlightened and must continue to be enlightened and shine that light on these people. And so that's the best thing I can say.
Well, thank you very much. We got 1 minute before the end of the show. Thank you so much for the generosity of your time. Always a pleasure to talk to you. We will be in touch, Drew. DrewThomasAllen.com. Yes, it's great to talk to you, too. You see, when you meet people like that, you know that our future is not over. People are going to fight. So thank you very much for that. That about does it for this episode of Spouting Off. Karen, Catalina, have a wonderful weekend. Thanks to Doug and people at BBS Radio, and thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Tune in next Tuesday, Thursday, Friday for more, because there's going to be, oh, so much to spout off about. Even the dog is spouting off here on Spouting Off.